Class, so now maybe all the adults can sit front here, okay? So, no, I'm just kidding. It's good to be here. You know, I've known of Way of Jesus for a long time, and we really appreciate you, all that you do in both the church here and the schools and all the, what's that? Probably not. I'll probably move around a little bit. I just have to. If I'm not holding it close enough, just point to me. So, and some years ago, I guess it was 2016, even before that, we had a Bible study in the city, and then we started the church on Charlotte Street, as Grace and Truth has been in the Welsh Mountain for about 20 years before that, probably. But anyway, we started a second location here in the city, and I know some of our people had a real heart for the city for years, and so that's where we are the last years. It's been a blessing, but I just am really appreciating how much it is to have churches that can work together and seeing it's all about the kingdom of God, right? It's not about one church or another church. It's really about the kingdom, and I just want to share a real short story before I get into the message. And maybe, when did you come to Grace and Truth to share? Was it right after, I think it was right after we opened, after COVID there? Yeah. Are you, what's your last name? Landis. Okay, Miss Landis was there, and Jason was there, right? Okay. And so I just want to tell you something that happened, and this is why it's so important that we work together as a body of Christ, was they were there sharing about the school. And we've, just a little backstory, there was a mother with, what do they have, 3 or 4 children? Something, maybe 5. They were there. And right after you were sharing your presentation, Maribel came up and wanted to talk. And she had only started coming. What had happened was we were doing some renovations during that time, and there was an old organ that one of our members put on Facebook Marketplace. She came and got it, and she's like, "Are you having church?" The church she was going to wasn't having church, and she started coming. And she, then when you came to present about Way of Jesus, she enrolled her children to Way of Jesus. And, you know, 3 weeks ago, she got baptized. So this is, she has quite a story, and she was just, she's gone through a battle of cancer. She's just wanting to get her life right with the Lord, and it was such an amazing opportunity to baptize someone like this. Her daughter, her oldest daughter, is not at Way of Jesus, but she has been walking with the Lord about a year before. So it's incredible what we can do as a body of Christ together. And so I'm not even sure all their names. Do you know the children's names? Okay, there's 5 boys. I have 4 boys, and then the daughter, Maya, right, is the oldest. So anyway, I just wanted to share that before we go further. But anyway, this is a privilege to come, and it's more, I would have loved to come for years, but probably more as a spectator, so then I'm asked to come and to look at this way. But anyway, I don't think we're supposed to be spectators in the body of Christ, right? We're supposed to enter in, and we're all here to. It's all for His glory. But I want to start with this. He put the children on the spot and asked some questions. I want to ask you adults if you know where this Bible verse comes from. O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Does anyone know where that comes from? Statement made by Jonah. Do you ever feel that way? It would be better for me to die than to live. And I'm going to do a little bit of reading here this morning. And I want to go through the story of Jonah. Jonah is an interesting story. It's 4 chapters. You could look at it and say, was it even real? How does this even fit into the gospel? He ends up looking like a failure in the end and some of these things. So I want to take a little bit of a different approach to Jonah. You know, we get caught up in the fascination, and it makes a great children's story, right? You see the story of Jonah being disobedient, and he goes out and he is thrown into the sea. And you know, if you remember, maybe children's stories have this. He goes in, he's thrown in the sea with dark hair. And when he comes out and he spit out on the land, he has white hair. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? You ever think about that? Well, there could be some truth to that, but it's a fascinating story. And so I'm going to just read, we're going to start with chapter 1, and we're just going to read through it, and then I'll share some thoughts even more in the end and maybe even throughout reading it. So, if I can just find it here. Now the word of Jonah came to, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. When the mariners were afraid, they cried out to each to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was on the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give you a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said one to another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from, and what is your country, and of what people are you?" He said, "I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is it that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you, that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous upon them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord. And you see that it's capital letters, Lord. "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not on us innocent blood for you, O Lord. Have done as it pleases you." So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea. The sea ceased from its raging, and the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So I know that's a lot of reading. I think the story is just fascinating as you read through it. And as we continue, I'm just going to go right into the prayer of Jonah. And it says, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord," this is chapter 2, "his God from the belly of the..." "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, 'I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, 'I am driven away from your sight. Yet I shall look again upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surround me. Weeds are wrapped around my head as the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought me up my life from the pit. O Lord my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and a prayer came to you to look into your holy temple. Those who pay regard in vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord." And the Lord spoke to the fish, and he vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. So here we see this story again. This, we don't just see this picture perfect kid's story of Jonah like you see sometimes, kneeling down and hands folded properly and praying to God. Because he's, if you see these stories, you think there'd be like a room inside this fish, right? But it says he cried out. He cried out. The King James says, out of the belly of hell. That's how bad it was to him. It was horrendous. It was ferocious where he was at. And he had seaweed wrapped around his head like, what's it say, the roots of the mountains or something like that. That's how bad this was. So this wasn't anything that was pleasant at all. And I just want to say this, in studying for this, it's interesting. I didn't know what I was going to, I had to ask, Friday morning I was asked, Dave was excited. He's like, hey, you know, would you want to go into Way of Jesus and preach? And I was, I don't know if he was excited that I'm not there with him or if he thought, but anyway, I'm just saying, I know that for a fact, actually. But just, I didn't know what I was going to share about. And I had studied the book of Jonah for some time ago, and I'm like, I don't know what this even means. I'm not sure, where do you go with this, right? What do we do with this story? Anyway, back to the story was, there was a man in 1891, I think his last name was Bartley. They were out fishing, whale hunting or whatever, and they, what do you call it when you throw these spears? Tarpooned or, yeah, it's like a big thing and they were thrown, they saw some big whales, I think it was a blue whale, they threw it and they speared one, but then two people were thrown overboard, the one drowned and the other one went missing, but in the end of it, they got the one big fish or whale and they brought it back to land, and on the next day or so, they were busy with axes and tearing all the blubber apart to try to get into the meat of this thing or whatever they're after. And they found the one person. And this man went into such a panic. He says, I mean, he probably just flipped out in the fact that he was swallowed. And he passed out. And then for like 2 weeks, he was almost like a lunatic. And he says that later on when he came to it, he said, it wasn't for lack of oxygen. It was for fear that he had passed out. And it came to, he would claim later on that he would have only died due to starvation. That, so I'm saying is you can live in a mammal like that. They breathe air, you know, so whatever fish this was, I'm not even sure it was a whale. Some people say whale, some people say fish, but we do believe this was a air-breathing mammal. So it is possible that human could live inside a fish for a period of time. And when they cut him out, he was white. Now, I want you to just think about that a little bit. He had changed colors from the whole, the gastric juices or whatever. This is how he was going to die and from suffocation and from, it was going to eat him apart. He was going to be digested, right? So he was starting to turn white already within 1 day afterwards. So just put that in the back of your mind for a little bit. Not a pretty sight, right? It was like hell to Jonah, right? This is what was going on in his body. His body was being eaten up. Chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And he goes on, he speaks to the people in Nineveh. It even says the king heard about it, and he covered himself in ashes, and they had a fast, and even the animals went on this fast. Now, how many of you were ever on a farm in your lifetime? How is it if you don't milk a cow or milk a cow for 12 hours, right? I mean, it's a gone on. Jonah had gone 1 day's travel into a 3-day travel into Nineveh. And word got out, and they started to fast and pray, and they heard his message to repent. And can you imagine, again, the cattle were crying and carrying on, and God heard their cries, okay? God, Jonah, his mission, his ministry, what he was called to do, it was complete in a sense. He did what he was called to do. You know, it took this crazy thing of being swallowed by a fish, being thrown out. He goes in and travels in the heart of Nineveh, in this sinful place, and he starts preaching. Now, I don't have facts on this as far as what the Word of God says, but I want you to just to think about this for a moment. How long was that boat? Well, how long was it after Jonah was swallowed that he came out? 3 days, right? Where do you think that boat went to in the meantime? Did it reach land? We don't know. This is just, I'm just using my imagination here a little bit. And they could have told someone in the meantime. These are just thoughts. Can you imagine if a guy that is white-haired, if that's true, white-skinned, walks into a place and starts preaching the message that God has called out to him? Those are just thoughts. This is just a side thought. That would that have thrown anything into this, that this man is alive? We heard about it. There was a person thrown overboard 3 days ago. I don't know where the boat was. Okay, I'm going to go back to the Word of God. Those are just some thoughts my mind can't help but think about a little bit. But he goes in. One day, he travels in. And his enemy was saved. Now, this is the story of Jonah. This is what's going on. I'm going to bring this back to us some. What is the story of Jonah all about? When you think about it, it's hard. When you think of the whole canon of Scripture and they all point to Jesus, right? And you're going, what does Jonah mean? Because what does he say in chapter 4? Chapter 4 says this, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry, and he prayed to the Lord." Here he prays again, but he's not happy. "O Lord, is not this that I said when I was yet in my country, that is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish? For I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Therefore," this is back to that verse, "O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Now, what do we do with that? What do we do with that fascinating story? His ministry is complete. His mission is done, so to speak, what he was asked to do. Jonah isn't happy. There's no life in him, right? There's no life in this man. And I just want a couple points here, and this is where this could get a little interesting, is we need to know, who was Jonah? Jonah was a man of God. I can't think of anything else to think that if he was a prophet and the Lord spoke to him, that he was a man of God, right? So, do you have a mark? Here we go. He is positioned where? Jonah is right here. Who are you in Christ? Where are you in Christ, right? Who are we? We are positioned in the heavenlies, right? We have a position that God has given us, a call that God has given us. So I just want to let that there for right now. So we're going to say Jonah was a man of God. God had appointed him. God had given him a purpose. And now, who were the people of Nineveh? Who were they? Were they enemies of God, possibly? So, you think about that. Jonah is in a tough place right now. Do you see the problem? Do we want to go to our enemies? What happens if Jonah goes to his enemies and they listen? In his mind, we still have a problem. If they repent, the problem is still here in my eyes. Do you follow what I'm saying? They didn't go away. They didn't go away, this problem. They've been a problem for years. They've always been creating a problem. God says, I'm going to speak to them. I'm going to share the good news with them as a believer. They may listen, but the problem is still there. This, I believe, is where Jonah was in a fix. The problem could come back down the road. And I'm not even sure. I didn't say Nineveh was destroyed later, was it not? I'm not sure. I better back off on that. There was something happened. I didn't even get into that then, but he says it would be better if God would kill me than I listen. Because if I listen and they change their mind, what about me? Okay? What is going to happen to me? What is going to happen to my family, my next generation? What's going to happen to my business? What's going to happen to my ministry? What's going to happen? Do you follow what I'm saying? If I do what he says and I see that God is gracious, but what about me? This is the fix. I'm not saying it was right, but this is the fix that Jonah was in. What about me? What about my people? What about my mission? What about my ministry? I would rather die than to see the outcome 10 years from now. I would rather die than to give in. And you know what? They've always been that way. The city is going to, you just let it go. It's going to happen 10 years from now. They're going to be back and the problem's going to be here again. So just take me out, God. I see what you did, but just take me out. How do we look at this in our own life? If you have your Bibles, turn to chapter 1. What is the first thing that Jonah did? He planned in his mind, he's going to be disobedient. But look at how many times the word down. He went down to Joppa. He went down to Joppa. He stepped out of his position as who he was in the eyes of God and stepped down. Could I have a drink, someone? I'm getting really dry. Sorry. Or maybe my wife has something. It's fine. He took a step down. Where did he go then? He went down to Joppa. He found a ship. So he had to go down to the seaside, right? He went down to the lowest part. But anyway, I'm just going to say, it says he went down to the ship. That was down in the water. He took another step down. Okay? The other place it says, later on it says he went. Where did he go? In the ship? He went in the bottom of the ship. Okay? And then what did he do? He laid down on the bottom of the ship. And I can imagine he's in a fetal position and he's laying down, running from his problems. this man of God, how did he go down here? It looks like he gave up, right? He gave up. You know, I think of this as men of a household. How many times do we take whatever was our call is and we pass it off to somebody else, maybe our wife or maybe somebody else, or we ignore it? We take a step down because God has given us a position as a man where we should walk. How about women? We have a rule. That is a God-ordained rule, right? We have been given one of the, a woman has been given one of the most amazing rules, but sometimes we can pass it off. I'm not picking on you, ladies. I'm talking just real life stuff here, and we take a step down. What about at work? Oh, we'll just let someone else do it, and it doesn't really matter, but, you know. What about church? What about each member? Like, I'm just saying, we are with, God has taken us to a place that is high above all other places. I'll get into that just a little bit. Well, actually, I have it here in Ephesians. If you look to Ephesians, amazing. If you guys, maybe you've studied a year or two ago, we preached through the book of Ephesians. It was an amazing journey. We took turns and just kind of went through it. But it says in Ephesians 2:4, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us in heavenly places. This is where he puts us when he saves us. You know, maybe some of your background comes from, I need to try to do better, and then I'll reach something. But that's not what the Word of God says. He says, he took us, and he seated us up there. And everything we do comes from this position. When we pray from this position. Do you understand? We pray from that position. We have been given authority. We have that position that's high above all other places. In Hebrews, it talks about Jesus. God says that he made him Lord, and yes, for a little while he was lower than the angels, but then he seated him high above everything. God the Father gave his son Jesus authority above all other authority, and he calls his own son God, and he gives him authority. And here, Jesus takes us, each of us, and he puts us right here with him. We're seated in heavenly places. And that's how we fight. This is how we walk, because we have been given all authority. Jonah was a man of God, and he stepped down. He stepped down. He stepped down. He stepped down. Have you ever found yourself in a fetal position thinking, why am I here? What am I to do? Do you understand what I'm saying? Jonah was a human being. Jonah was a man that had good intentions, but it was overwhelming. Life took him and just, I'm here, church, to say, God has put us in a position that is high above anything else, no matter what our circumstances can be, that we are seated there. And I want to say this. What did Jesus say about these things? He talks about the narrow gate and the wide way and things like that. Matthew 7:13, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. That's what I want to talk about, life. You know, we look at that possibly and say, well, that he's talking about hell down the road or heaven down the road. No, I think he's talking about life today. That narrow road that is up here is a place of life. It's a place that we can have abundant life no matter what the circumstances. This is destruction when we're lying down. And we're just allowing him to come and overtake, this Satan just to come and overtake us and to just tear us down. Jesus says, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And I want us to think about that, that life is for us today. I'm talking about when you got born again, you stepped into eternity, so to speak. This isn't something that someday you'll have better life. It's when you have given your life to Jesus Christ, eternity starts there and it's forever, right? So we have this place where we can have life today. Life today. But it's a narrow road. It's a narrow road. There's days that things are going to be rocky. Things are going to be hard. But it's still where life is. Where we get our life is where we have been positioned. And maybe we just need to remind ourselves, no, we tell the devil, no, I am here with Christ. You're not. You're going to hell. I am seated in heavenly places. Another Romans 8, I think it is. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. When we are seated with Christ, we are under a new law. The old law has passed away. And when we get scared sometimes when we think of law, but when we are in the law of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's an amazing life. There is abundant life there. Everything we do is for him. It is for him. It's about him. And when we do that, there's only certain things we can do because we're in Christ, but there's life there. We don't even want to do anything else. Amen? Like, that's what we want. And that law, that spirit of life, that law has set us free from the law of sin and death. But that's here because Christ did that for us. He seated us in heavenly places. You know, if you are born again, God called you out of utter darkness, out of despair, out of the pit of hell, and he seated you in a place that is above anything we can even imagine. We get glimpses of it. It's beautiful. That's where life is. But it's going to continue. Some of you might not know what you've been called to yet. Maybe you're born again. You see there's a calling upon your life and you're not sure what it is. Maybe you're waiting, and that's okay. But I encourage you just to be faithful wherever that is. A good friend of mine went through really trying times at one time. He was in the ministry. There were some problems. He got asked to step down, and he had a hard time finding his way for quite some time. What is my purpose? Where do I fit in? What am I to do? And I know, and I'm not here to speak about this anything. I know that you've been going through some challenges, and that's okay. I'm not going to tear that all apart. My point is just this. Maybe no one knows what their role is right now, okay? But one thing he said that stood out to me for a long time was, there's no tissue box around here or something, is it? For illustration, no, it's fine, I don't need it. You have a tissue box, and you take the last tissue out. This is getting way down, just trying to find your place in an organization, in a home, at work, wherever, and things are rocky. How can I help build this? He says you replace the tissue box. You replace the tissue box if you took the last tissue. If you see something out of place. He was in ministry and couldn't find himself. And that's how he found his way out of it. He is in ministry today. My point is, how do you build each other up? How do we walk and build each other up? How do we empower? Is we Maybe we don't know where our mission is, what our mission is, but we are seated in heavenly places, and that calls us just to be faithful. Just to be faithful in little things. And I'm not going to go there, but you can read about the talents and all those things. When we, you know, when we're faithful, God gives you more. And even the one, it talks about, you know, being faithful in one area and he has rule over 10 cities. So whether it's at church or it's home, at home, fathers and mothers, you don't need to save the world. You just are called to be faithful in what you were set out to be. Whether it's at church, maybe you have a mission. Maybe you don't know the outcome. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. Never allow your emotions to get in the way of your calling. We can get distracted. We don't need to know the outcome of our calling. We just need to know what we do and take the next step. Not saying there doesn't need to be adjustments. Not saying I don't need to be I may need to change. I know some years ago we went through some really challenging times in our church. Being in ministry, there was things that weren't going well. But I can look back to that day and I know there's things that I did wrong that I could have done differently. I don't know that it would have changed the outcome. But it's just, we may need to change. We may need to change the way we think sometimes. But when we want to see a vibrant life in Christ, we just be faithful. And we keep reminding ourselves the enemy is under our feet, and this is where we're seated. We're not in a fetal position. We have victory. Amen? We have victory because of Jesus. We don't have victory for any of our own doings. We have victory because he put us there, and it's us that tends to want to step down. I want to give you an example. I was thinking about this, and unless have your head in the sand, you know there's crazy things going on, right? News, crazy movements in cities. Things are, you know, even out Midwest or West, there was a city that was run by themselves. I don't even know where that was. My point is, there was a movement, right? There was a movement of some type, and they don't want any authority or whatever. But I just want to say, let's say Lancaster City for the sake of, we know Lancaster City. There's a movement takes over, and it's growing momentum. After a bit, half of the city is following a different movement, and it's dangerous. We don't know if we can have church. We don't know if we can have school. We don't know what's going to happen to our private lives. And God calls you to go speak to them. This is where Jonah was at. God called him to go and preach to them. Do you see the dilemma? The dilemma is, I know, but maybe they'll change for now. You'd have this thought in your mind, it would be better if God would wipe them out. Do you understand what I'm saying? It would be better if my problem goes away than to speak the love of Jesus from the position of Jesus. Do you know what I mean? We tend to go this way and think that if God wipes them out, my problems go away. That is where Jonah was at. And he was in that fetal position until someone found him. In the end, this is what I want to talk about. In the end, he listened. In the end, his ministry was successful. But he was not a happy camper. It didn't go his way. But he had stepped down from his rule of where there's life. The city was overturned. He did what God called him to do, but he wasn't happy. It'd be like Jonathan asked to lead worship this morning, which I don't know. I imagine he was asked. Maybe he just does it for you guys. I'm not sure. But my point is, if he'd start thinking, this is on a very, maybe a shallow level we think, but if I am asked to do this. Someone is inspired by the love of Christ through this. But that person, sitting back here or here, wherever, is raised up because he is inspired by the word of God and he becomes a better worship leader than me. Do you understand what I mean? We can tend to think that, and I don't doubt that at all, but I'm saying we can do that in little ways. If I'm obedient, then that person. If I'm obedient, then this movement. If I'm obedient, then this person. Do you follow what I'm saying? We can tend to think, I would rather not give myself to that because it would take away from that. And that's probably a poor example, Jonathan. I'm not picking on you. My point is, we are human beings, and we tend to analyze things further than what we need to analyze them. All we are called to do is to be faithful and lead worship. All we're called to do is to be faithful and give. All we're called to do is faithful and love. All right? God will do the rest because he already has us here. You would be surprised, and I know that you know it, when you are here and you're walking in there, it is unbelievable what God can do. It's unbelievable what can happen when we simply walk and are faithful with God. God is calling us to be faithful without an attitude. Do you know why? Do you know what it took for us to go right here? There was a man. His name is Jesus. He lived a life totally beyond what we can comprehend to the fullest. We can get bits and pieces of it. We can learn from that. He was an amazing teacher. He had a following. But you know, there was many times they found him, they cornered him, and he would slip away. He was without sin. There was a time, and he talked about it. He told his disciples about it, that it was going to happen. But there was a time he was betrayed. They came to the garden. But before they came to the garden, what did Jesus pray? What did Jesus pray? He's praying in the garden, and he's saying, Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. And if possible, can you let this cup pass? He was having a struggle with this. What was in the cup? Anybody, can you tell me what was in the cup? He said it a couple times. You know what was in the cup? My sin. Your sin. Your sin. Your sin. The wrath of God was upon him. And he said over and over a couple times, not my will, but your will be done. And then what happens after that? He surrendered. I think of this sometimes, that Jesus' death and surrender, his death happened there in the garden. That's the way I look at it sometimes. I realize he followed through and it had to be. His total surrender was death to himself was right there. And you know what happened? When he arose, they came in to the garden and they got him this time. Do you know why? This is the way I look at it. Our sin was upon him. He was now sinful. They could grab him. They could take him. And they put him on the cross. His ministry, his mission was over. It's his blood that brings us salvation. It's that. That is where his life, his death, his resurrection. He's been placed in the heavenly places, and now we're seated with him. And you know what? When we look at it from some of those things, our desire to step down should go away, and we stay in the heavenly places. I'm going to just ask you to stand, if you want. We're going to pray in closing, and I am so excited for you as a body. I'm so excited for what you're doing in the city of Lancaster. From what I understand, you might have close to 100 students this year at the school. You are making an incredible impact for the kingdom of God. People are being changed. Again, Friday morning, I didn't know what I was going to preach. I told Michael that I know what you need. I know it's the word of God, but I don't know what it is. So if this is for you today, I'm just going to pray for you. I need this today. This is where I need to walk. And I think this is where we all need to walk. So I'm going to pray for you. Father in heaven, you are an amazing God, that you would even come even to the depth of hell and to save us because of your Son, Jesus Christ, surrendering his life, the blood of Jesus Christ being on his shoulders. He has come. Jesus, we thank you that you have come and you have accepted a penalty. And you have been given, you gave your life for us. You have given us a life that is far above any other life that we can have. You have set us in the heavenly places. You are seated there. We're seated with you. And Father, I pray for each soul here today. I pray that there would be abundant life coming out of each one of them, walking in grace, walking in freedom, walking where there is life, even when the road is hard, but just remembering every day that we are seated in heavenly places and where we're seated, where there is life. Father, I pray for this church. I pray for the school. I pray for the many things that have happened from this body, and we bless you. We praise you, Jesus, that you're going to do more. Because when we believe, when we don't step down, there will continue to be life. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, you would come and saturate this congregation with the love of Jesus Christ. That love would be increased. We would not crawl down in a fetal position. We would stand up just knowing that the Word of God tells me who I am, tells me where I'm placed, and tells me where to go. Father, I bless you. We praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.